Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Very good afternoon to you if you've just tuned in. Like I said, that was Siphokazi Mohapi and Love So Deep. Takes us to 14 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock. And remember, at about 10 past, quarter past 5 this afternoon, we've got Bob Jeff Cele talking about the importance of a fatherly role in a child's life. And today, I really just want to focus more not only on the younger ones, but I think there is a stage that we always don't realize how much it matters. Not necessarily the early childhood development, but there is that phase between the ages, yaboma, 6 to 12. They're not teenagers yet. They're not your ECD level, but they are at that stage that asks all the questions, that's trying to figure out, you know, their lives and trying to belong. I think it's at that stage where we develop a lot, to a point where as teenagers we feel there's a certain direction we take. Yes, we start seeing the signs of whether or not our children are confident. Even if you look back to your own life, your personality probably started coming out in full, or your realization of it probably in your teenage years. But there was that phase, you know, that your starting school up until your teenage years, that is. And I'm particularly focusing on this particular age group, and because currently I have two of those, not my own children, but my sister's children. And I'm really just observing both these children. The other's 12, the other's 10. And I'm observing because their dynamics are actually quite different, in the sense that the other one has his father present, but the other one has never really met a father. And so there's so many questions. And so really we're having our conversation literally around that age group today. That's where my questions and my conversation is based on with about Jeff Cele today. So stick around for more of that. Later on also, we're talking about how he delights in you. And our scripture for this afternoon is found in the book of Psalm 18, verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. That's the scripture we're focusing on today.
We are so thankful to still be connecting faith to life after so many years on air. Will you join us in ensuring the gospel of Christ continues to reach future generations across all our platforms? To give, simply SMS GIVE and the amount you'd like to contribute to 37871. Standard rates apply. Keep us on air everywhere.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
I must say, the song will definitely get you dancing. And I'm laughing because as Enika sneakily put it in for me, and she's like, you're going to love it. And I did not realize that it was this song, but I'm like, oh, as Enika, why this one? Why this particular song? But I must say, it's one of my favorite Afrikaans songs. If it doesn't make you dance, I told me, no, you're not a very flexible one. But that song is really amazing. And on the line this afternoon, I have Ubabu Jeff. Bob Jeff joined us last week, and he's back again. And this is a feature by Heartlines called Fathers Matter, because they truly, truly do. I know a lot of times we focus on the girl child, and as a girl child myself who struggled with daddy issues, you know, I always thought it was all about the girl child, but we find that the boy children are also affected a whole lot. I don't know why we turn a blind eye to the boys, but I think it's maybe because, Bob Jeff, sometimes they're closer to the mommies. Then you forget about them. Then you see the effects later on in life. You're like, yo, you can see that there is no dad influence here.
Yeah, they filter through the crack.
Exactly. How are you doing today, Baba?
I'm okay, Luke, on yourself. Nobalalele Makaya. How are you guys?
We are doing absolutely great, Baba. And speaking of, you know, children and you know, them missing certain aspects of a father, especially girls. You know, I said and I thought over the past couple of weeks before you came in, I spoke to Mam Figile, you know, and the focus was on early childhood development. And I think oftentimes we focus on early childhood. You must remember, early childhood development is usually considered to be that early toddler stage to about 5, 6. Then they go into school. That's your preschool kind of range time. And then again, you hear us focusing more on teenagers because this is where it's either they're impressing us or baskaga. We just don't know what to do with them. Then we start crying for help again. But nobody really speaks, Babu Jeff, about, you see, that age 6 years when they start school, the only thing we do, we take pictures of them in the first day of school. That age between there and 12, somehow we seem to be missing that age group and it causes a crack. You know, I was just saying to our family, the listeners earlier on, that I have a niece and a nephew, my sister's kids, and we have two different dynamics in these two children. The other's 10, the other one is 12. The 10-year-old, his father is very available. His dad, you know, is in Gauteng, he's in Eastern Cape, and as I'm talking to you right now, he's making efforts to take his son for December. Then there's the 12-year-old who has never met dad at all. And the 12-year-old, I don't know why, but she tends to ask me all these questions. Magazi this, magazi that. And at some point I had to go out looking for dad. I made the effort. I did, because, you know, I realized that there was no relationship and my sister was already fed up with this. So I had to reach out and say, dude, I had this incident. I went home for the holidays. Your daughter asked about you. And I must tell you, the only reason, honestly, Bob Jeff, I actually went after him. One day I was having a chat with my mom. I turned around and I looked at her. And I remembered what her dad actually looked like, because she looked like her dad. And coincidentally enough, she then asks me about him. And I didn't say a word. I only said it to my mom. Then later on, she says, Magazi, but why isn't my dad interested to know me? She was only 10 at that point. So I'm picking up these and as a result of me observing this other one with an available dad who's now starting to become this responsible boy, because that's how his dad is, I'm also watching this little one ask all these questions. And it then brings me to my first question, Baba. You know, at this stage of character formulation and personality development, which we then later see fully in teenage years, how important is it for fathers to show up at this stage?
Sure, Luko, that's a powerful one. I think as you setting up the scene or the process this afternoon, I'm drawn back quickly to some of the questions I've been trying to ask when I was about 8, 9, 10, 11 years of age. Circumstance and situation, just to run through, is that when I realized I am 10 years old and my mom is 22, I started saying, whoa.
Sure.
Is this my mom? Because I was convinced in my mind it can't be.
The age doesn't make sense.
But this tiny girl cannot be my mom. Maybe they are hiding something here. And I'm trying to bring this point here. And they just shut you down.
Yeah.
You're starting again.
Yeah.
Shut up. Close your mouth. You'll get a hiding. And yet this question became a serious question until something happened one day. And I'm saying to myself, if they answered me then, I wouldn't have fell into this big trap.
Yeah.
And God willing, one day we'll get into that and do stories, because one of the programs at Heartlines is What's Your Story? I'll share my story and encourage people to do that. Going back to the question, one of the themes at Father's Matter process is theme number 4. It says there are improved social health and educational outcomes when there is a shared attachment. That is both the mother and the father. But here's a touching line, especially in the first 1,000 days of children.
Wow.
So I'm trying to say to you here, Luko, if we don't start the journey at the 1,000 days, sometimes by 5, 7, 8, some of us could be late.
Yes.
Some of these young people, they bloom quickly. Mm. You lose them. Mm. But also back to the question of where we at, when we don't help to shape or frame or answer their questions, somebody will answer them.
Sure, would somebody's going to answer them.
Somebody said to us, I don't want to misquote them, but they say, everybody is speaking to your child but you.
Mm.
And then they're going to give them reasons. They're going to give them answers. They'll tell them stories. Mm. But I'm saying here, it's very, very important for fathers to be intentional in getting involved in shaping the well-being of the child, decision-making, all of those things. And I was saying the other week at a men's conference session in Bramley, when I do something wrong, the only time I hear my father's voice is when I had done something wrong.
Mm.
Same applies when he had gone, it was my uncle. When they open their voice, something is wrong. But when I actually do something wrong, that's when they say to me, in the Tele family, we don't do this. I'm like, told me.
Why didn't you coach me how the Tele family does things? Now then you want to show me that what they don't do.
Parents, fathers, mothers should be intentional in shaping this little mind, giving this direction to this mind, giving a process that says, any question we're going to answer. We've got a 3-year-old in the house.
Mm.
He's asking. He wants to go out with everybody. But we've learned, if you tell the truth and not dodge around and disappear,
ish.
If you tell them on their face, I'm going to such a place, I'll be back. He goes, okay, Baba.
Aww.
And it's those kind of things.
Mm.
Build that relationship. Build that trust.
Mm.
Let them follow you. You know, when you pick them up and throw them in the air, that faith that says nothing wrong will happen to me.
Mm.
Same applies to the questioning and answering and shaping their thinking as well.
Yeah. And speaking of their thinking, Baba, there's also that aspect of, like we were saying, they ask a lot of questions. They ask a lot of questions. And like you were saying, you know, if your child asks a question and you say to them, you don't ask adults that. They then, you know, they quickly draw back and they don't want to ask. They end up not knowing what questions to actually ask, because everything else feels as if, no, Baba's not going to appreciate this. No, this is. And as a result, I don't know if I'm correct to say this, even when they get bullied at school, they tend to hide things because they don't know whether Baba's going to say, I start fighting for yourself. There's no dialogue that you are holding. So with that, how important is the father's voice in formulating this child's life and helping them to find their voice, be it they're abused, be it they're bullied, or be it they're just developing a confident, no-nonsense, you know, a tone. But at the end of the day, there should be an influence that dad has in whether or not they do find their voice.
Sure. You said something interesting there, Luko, when you say when they are bullied, they might not come back and voice it out.
Mm.
And the truth I wanted to say on that point, they will never say anything on anything that's happening to them, because their voice is stifled in the house.
Mm.
They're never allowed to behave. Now, when we talk voicing, want us to also focus on the voice of the father in shaping or responding, or at times we're reacting to the child, as opposed to the child's voice themselves.
Yeah.
I've been here. I know. I told you, don't ask me. Don't ask back. And already we've locked them out. They'll start saying, is this the right question to ask?
Mm.
Can I ask this one? Will daddy answer me? At the end of the day, they never ask anything again.
Mm.
Luko, they'll start asking somebody out there and they will definitely get
an
answer. And we don't want to learn there. What I say also, there's what we call the world view. One of the challenges that, or the baton we need to take as parents, as fathers, intentionally take on the baton of shaping their world view.
Mm.
Because their picture of what's happening on TV compared to what's on social media, what's happening in my home, what I'm hearing from friends. There are many voices, there are many pictures. You want to bring in one solid approach to a child and give them a voice for them. They don't have to fight. They don't have to be a bully pack, but give them a voice to say yes, to say no, may I, and that will help them. And then those are also supported by a lot of love. A lot of yes, yes, you are doing well. Yes, you could have done better. Let's do it like this. The support builds this character, builds this frame that says, my line has been always, how do we intentionally speak to them before the world speaks to them? And we can't avoid that. But the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. I go to the other and say, if it's not faith, what am I hearing and what is building in me? Because there are things that I'm hearing if I'm not hearing the word of God. So it becomes, there are people saying things, there are people talking, they will shape the child. They will shape the thinking, they will shape their voice. And the voice becomes a voice of fear, of timidity, of scared, other reasonings that make them to be scared to say things. They'll take forever to own themselves. And when this build look not to take long, later in the future, they are caught up in not being vocal for the rest of their life. They close in, it shapes those circles of whether I'm aggressive or I'm passive. And it's a different character that you had not intended to have.
That's interesting. And you end up, noticing that they exude the same type of aggression or way of addressing other people because that's what they're familiar with.
Sure. Definitely.
Now, this one is, I think it's a big question for me. Because it speaks to different types of fathers. You know, Baba, there are those that have missed out because relationships did not work out. And it then that became an easier way out for them, be it from responsibility or taking a break from me, the mother. You know, so that the dad then projects it to the child and they walk away. For whatever reason, it could be because it's a good excuse to walk away from their child and not take responsibility. It could be also really that maybe I'm a toxic mom, like they say. And always I fight with dads by saying the courts are there. That's why women will often approach them when they don't know what to do. But for some odd reason, the same dads don't know that when I am violating his right, he should run to the same court. Then, two, it's not only those that are physically absent and otherwise. You also find those that are actually here physically, but them being there physically doesn't mean responsibility-wise. And I'm making this example because that's what affected me. You know, the person is there, married to mommy, but the person is not there. You know, they carry on with their life. And so this child is missing out on the daddy aspect at this phase of their lives because of whatever is preoccupying them or because they never saw daddy active in their lives. So the crux of my question now, Bob Jeff, is an absent father in this period of time, what are you saying to them for whatever reason that they may have been absent and they're now finding it difficult to go back and play that fatherly role? Maybe let's say the child's already 9 or 10 already. They don't know how to now chip in. You know that feeling of walking into a gathering late and you suddenly don't know where the conversation or how the conversation started, but I want to chip in, but I don't know how to do it. So if you could speak to that dad for me right now, because also I'll find sometimes mommies will say, it's too late. I dealt with the nappies, the milk and everything myself. Is it ever too late?
Men, look, just to address it straight to the fathers and say, gents, it's never too late. It will never be late. Not, say, condoning our wrong actions. But when we come back to our senses, the prodigal son says, I'll go back to my father and lower me. and move from the pedestal and move from the positioning. And I wanna go back because I know I'm safe there, or I'm needed there more than I need me to be there. But it's never late, gents. Let's go back. It's never too late. Go and shape this. It says that progress is impossible without change.
Sure.
So as I change my thinking, it's for me to start going back. And it says those who cannot change their mind cannot change anything.
Sure.
So need to lower me and say, I didn't do right. Can I go back and be ready to take the water on my face, the noise, the frustration? But I know very well that God will make a way. God will soften the heart. God, Malachi says, in the last days, he'll bring back the hearts of the fathers to the children.
Sure.
And going back means we have separated somewhere. So if it's physical or spiritual, the truth is God says, I'm going to be there to make sure I mend this. So I'm challenging Amachita, gentlemen, who had decided for whatever reason to move out or not to be part of the move. It's never too late. These we need to be there in their lives. We need to go back. And in fact, one of the biggest lessons and testimony could be, I heard my father coming back after a couple of years saying sorry. Sorry, work. Sorry can change this world and make it better. So as Father's Matter, encouraging fathers to go back and say, no, I messed it up. I want to go back and be part of this move. Where sometimes the mother, sometimes they'll be, they'll close off.
Yes.
They'll close the bars and say, nah, we are gatekeeping now. You've messed up. You didn't blah, blah, blah. But as they continue to beg, lower yourself, get guys to come in, let's support each other. But it's never it to go back and restart the journey with a child. Whatever age they are, it's a difference.
I like that you actually prepared the gents as well, Bab Jeff, to say you might face resistance when going back. Because you must also understand that this mom has had to toil alone for a long time. But what matters is your decision. The difference, the real difference, is the intention being followed by the action.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Yes,
Bab Jeff,
yes,
thank you so much for your time. I know it's a hectic afternoon, but thank you for reminding us to awaken our conscience once again and say, hey, take care of those little ones. They need you to formulate their character and voice. Siyabonga Baba, I'll see you next week again.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Uko.
You're at 657 AM, Radio Caring, 24 hours a day.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.